12 minutes past 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Craig Adams, along with Matt Douglas and Bruce Van Dyke. This is the morning show on AM 930 WEOL. Someone we've had in studio several times over the years, not for a little while, though. Glad to have her back this morning. That's Liz Schultz from the Oberlin Heritage Center. And welcome. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me in.
And this is your first time here as the new executive director.
That's right. So it's been a very interesting couple of months. I'm just in month two of my new position. So I certainly knew a lot about the organization already, having been the education and tour coordinator for 8 years. But I think everyone who becomes an executive director knows that there are new things to learn at that point and new responsibilities.
New things to learn, new things to do,
yes.
New responsibilities, as you mentioned. Pat Murphy, having done a terrific job over many years there, breaking new ground in lots of ways.
Yeah, I think we can really credit Pat with bringing the organization into the involved organization it is, that so many volunteers are part of it, growing the membership, becoming accredited by the American Alliance of Museums. So these are huge accomplishments, especially for an organization that maybe only had 20 members when she started there in the early 1990s. And today it is so active, and people are so, they give so much of their time to the organization. So Pat was a wonderful leader.
What do you find so special about the Oberlin Heritage Center?
I think the people who are involved in it, that they really believe, not just in the organization, but in the power of Oberlin's history, that it is such a unique history with fighting for equal rights and people really pushing the boundaries on some issues. I will admit Oberlin was strange in the early years and sometimes still has that reputation, but it's always been lived in by people who feel very strongly about their ideas, and that history is something to you can just explore in so many different ways, and it leads to talking about national issues. So that's what I love about it.
At what point in your either academic career or professional career did Oberlin really sort of get on your radar for something, an area with that rich history?
I found out about Oberlin again when I was looking for jobs at the end of graduate school. And I looked all around at different areas and applied to a few jobs. But the more I researched Oberlin, the more I saw that, one, as I said, the museum was accredited. And to me, that just means that the people there took their history serious. They wanted to share it with people. It meant that the collections they were taking care of, they were keeping them in the best condition and trying to preserve that. So I was impressed with that, but also just hearing about how it was the first coeducational college in the country and how people were traveling there on their way to freedom out of slavery, that these are stories you don't hear everywhere and definitely not in the same place very often.
Liz Schultz is our guest this morning, the executive director of the Oberlin Heritage Center. You've got a very busy couple of weeks coming up, and if we could do this, let's do this in chronological order. And you've got a program, because you've got a program tomorrow, an open house with the Lorain County Preservation Network. What's that all about?
Well, the Lorain County Preservation Network is a group, well, some people might be surprised that there are many, many organizations all within Lorain County, historical societies, historic house museums, preservation organizations. I mean, just in Lorain, you have Black River and Charleston and also the Lorain Historical Society. So once in a while, leaders from these organizations get together to talk about preservation issues they're having, maybe houses that need repair, or we know there's an old building in the community that's threatened to be demolished. So it's really nice when you can get together with other people and just talk about solutions and ways to deal with these issues. But also as part of that network, about once a year they host an open house so that anyone in the community can see what all of these organizations are doing and maybe get ideas for themselves too and how they can take care of their structures or their historic items. So this year Oberlin is hosting. So tomorrow, Saturday, from 11 to 3, people can come to the Oberlin Public Library to see posters and talk with some of these different organizations from throughout the county. And also, we're going to have people can visit the Oberlin Heritage Center to see the first floor of the Monroe House, and there are two times when they can see our behind-the-scenes collections area, in case they want to see how we preserve and store our objects. And also the special collections area of the Oberlin College Library will be open so people can see how the library takes care of some of its oldest books and creates protective casings for them.
Would there be a key issue for the Oberlin Heritage Center, for example?
In terms of preservation?
Yeah. In terms of what might be a concern that you share with other people tomorrow?
Well, I think our big concern, we've actually dealt with just this last year, that we store some of our collections down in the basement of the Monroe House, because that's one of the few spaces available to us. But we, when it would rain heavily, sometimes we would have a small leak coming into the basement. So this last year, we actually dug out from the side and kind of rewalled that part of our basement. And that was a huge investment. But I think that was one thing that we did well to try and preserve that collection. So in terms of the open house, we can talk about that issue and how we address that.
When it comes to preservation, would you be better served if you had some sort of climate-controlled area? I don't know what the expense would be, but would that help?
Definitely. Having climate control, air flowing through, and protecting things from UV sunlight, because that can bleach things. But also you want to keep critters out. And really the most dangerous thing in museums is people. I mean, we bump into things, we accidentally leave things open, or we sometimes paint things, and even those fumes can damage certain objects over time. So more often, we just have to be watching our own behavior to protect the collections.
Another program coming up, this one on October 28th, the Frederick Douglass One-Man Show. Frederick Douglass, of course, abolitionist, very active. Tell us about this program.
Yeah, the presenter's name is Wesley Williams, and he sometimes interprets historical figures. So he's coming to Oberlin that evening, October 28th, to speak at Kendall at Oberlin. They have an auditorium there. So Frederick Douglass, very famous man from the 1800s, that he had been born into slavery and escaped on his own journey on the Underground Railroad. He did it by borrowing papers that said he was a sailor, so people kind of believed him when he said he was going where he said he had to go. So very public route, actually. And then he made his way north and later became a famous lecturer on the abolitionist circuit. And some of his speeches, you can find like transcripts of them online. They're fantastic speeches. So we are really looking forward to how Mr. Williams interprets Frederick Douglass.
I was, before you came in today, I was aware of Frederick Douglass, but I read more about him. Mm-hmm. And what I read spoke to the oration, the mm-hmm. writing, that he was pretty much for any time, simply extraordinary.
He was.
And people wondered, how could this former slave do that?
Mm-hmm. I think that, you had very well-intentioned white people going around talking about how awful slavery was. But then when they heard Frederick Douglass, and he was so eloquent and so very powerful, he didn't really skimp on his stories. He told some of the awful things that he saw, and that just his voice really convinced people how terrible the institution was. And he has an excellent speech, too. He didn't just end with slavery. He was interested in equal rights after that, as well as rights for women. So he has a great speech about the 4th of July and how it was. He really thought it was a joke, that not everyone in the country was free at the time. Not everyone was treated equally. So it's a scathing speech, but excellent.
Coming up in November, Oberlin College, the area will be overrun by parents. It's Parents' Weekend, and what do you have to do with that?
Well, it's kind of our last big tour day or a tour weekend of the year because, as you know, we're starting to get into colder weather. But we've got all these parents in town, and we try to offer more history walks that weekend and have our buildings open. And it's open to public community members as well. But we like to invite the college students and parents and community members to see inside our historic buildings and just explore the community in a new way.
Also coming up in November, a program called Old Secrets, New Stories of Oberlin's Underground Railroad. Are there really new stories? Can there be new stories?
Well, it depends on how you see the word new. Okay. What we're finding, Ron Gorman and I have been researching this, and with digital technology, so many more libraries and archives are creating finding guides and scanning old autobiographies. So they're not news stories, but they're stories that previous to this you could only find by going to that library and finding that autobiography. So all of a sudden, all of these new sources are coming available. So that's really adding to the story that we tell about Oberlin and Ohio's abolitionist movement.
So it's kind of new to you.
It is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. New to a lot of people. And also new, again, a way technology comes into play for things new, things old. Tablet tours.
Yes, tablet tours. This is a program we had funding from the IMLS, Institute for Museum and Library Services, to kind of try creating two new tablet tours. One is about downtown Oberlin, so people can click around on, it's actually based in PowerPoint, they can click on like an address and see photographs of what the building used to look like, see who used to own it, some of the businesses over time. So we're finding that a lot of times at the Heritage Center, we talk about abolitionists and Civil War period, but we're finding the people who really love the downtown tour are people who have lived here since the 40s, 50s, 60s, and they can say like, oh my God, I remember that shop, or I used to get ice cream there. So it's a fun new addition.
It's like one of the buildings there on Main Street, you know, Route 58 Main Street, they're going through there. Used to be an old car dealership or something, and now it's something else, but you can still see remains of what used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty cool. Liz Schultz, thank you so much for being with us today, the executive director from the Oberlin Heritage Center. Good luck. We'll chat again.
Thank you very much.
We'll get together early next year and see what's new. One other thing.
Uh-huh.
If people want to get involved, you look for volunteers, you need people to help out. How can they do that?
Sure. One of the easiest way to find out how to become a volunteer is visit our website. There's even a link that says get involved. So oberlinheritagecenter.org is our website. People can also call us at 440-774-1700 or just stop on in. That's one of the best ways to see the museum and see what you can get involved in.